You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We're on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. We can also be heard on the web, and Ellen will tell our dear listeners how to get on the web and listen to our show this morning.
Right, it's on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is on Sita Media Inc., and also SitaMedia.com. And we also have it on iTunes on under Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Right, and the station is on demand, WWBC.
AM 1510.
Right. So we have a really action-packed show this morning. We've got my good friend Melissa Martin, who ran for a seat right here in Florida, or District 14, as a candidate, a former candidate. She's also a judge advocate. And we also want to say thank you for being in the Marines. She's a veteran, so welcome to our show.
Thank you so much.
We also have Victoria Michener. She's my friend, and she's a former candidate for county commissioner here in District 2. Victoria is a Florida native, and she was born right here in Rockledge. She's also a veteran. Thank you, my dear.
Thank you
and
for having me.
And she also works in human resources, and she has her own company. So welcome.
Thank you for having me.
We're
going to
be talking with them in a little bit. And then we have Lynette Fodor, who's here. Lynette is an adjunct professor over at Florida Eastern. Eastern Florida. That's a Trinidadian thing, say it backward a little bit.
Well, and I mean, I'm just impressed that we didn't say BCC.
Yeah,
because
that's right.
That's usually what we get stuck on,
yes,
right?
And she also does some mental health counseling on the side. And of course, we've got Ellen Little, my co-host and my friend, who's here with me this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you. But everybody knows our elections was held last Tuesday, and apparently Florida just can't keep themselves out of the news. They've got to stay in somehow. We're recounting votes for the governor, for Senator Nelson, and I think we also did it for the for Nikki Fried. What was her
Commissioner of Agriculture,
and they're still counting. And so we're waiting to see what happens with that. I think they've got a deadline with that. So we're waiting for that to happen. And in the meantime, we are sending out our thoughts and prayers to the town of Paradise in California. How many people passed away? Over 30 people lost their lives in the fires. And I heard it was started by a campfire?
Yeah, something that was specifically person-related. It wasn't like it was a wildfire or anything like that. Yeah, it was really tough. It's really tough.
It is tough. So,
and I have friends and family that are out there, and grandparents and so forth that are out there, have been evacuated. So it's been a rough weekend for that.
Talk about, sometimes we say that through our actions, we impact people's lives.
That's right.
That was some action that impacted not just people's lives, but the entire town.
Yeah.
That's pretty rough.
Yeah.
And Ellen, we're also going to be having a call in from a lovely lady that I met during the campaign trail on Facebook, of course. Her name is Deborah Belanti, and she also ran for a seat in Florida in State House District 60. And so she's going to be calling in a little bit this morning. We also want to give a shout out. Our good friend Anna Ishkamani won her race.
Yes. She's been on the show quite a few times, and you can go back and listen to some of her interviews. They were quite phenomenal.
She's been a supportive seat and friends. And so many women, the House of Representatives. I know Mel and Victoria could jump in here, but I'm not sure how many people were inspired by the march in Washington, D.C., but I do know a lot of the candidates who won their seats, they did. Mm. And now we have a system of checks and balances in Washington, D.C., which I think is pretty good.
A little bit further down the road, yes.
Yes.
I think we still have a long way to go.
I agree.
But it has helped.
Yeah. Yes, it did help.
Small steps.
Yeah,
baby steps.
Tiny little itsy bitsy baby steps.
Well, that's what it's all about, right? Yeah, I mean, it's all about accountability.
So So did you see the
transparency? Right.
I believe it was 2020 last night had Michelle Obama on.
Oh yeah.
Did you see the interview with her? And her book is coming out. And what an inspiration that she is, especially in that interview. She did an interview with Robin Roberts, I believe it was, went back to her hometown, and I mean, really told it. I mean, the interview really gave me a lot of insight. Again, even for what you ladies went through in the race, you know, as far as this part of the race, and it was just very inspiring, very inspiring. So hopefully more of these stories will come out, stories like the three of you, and stories like Anna Ishkamani and many of the other ladies that.
Well, you
ran
know,
this
the
time.
Thing is, we ran campaigns that were very positive. Mel and Victoria and myself and everyone in town, and we focused on the issues, like I said, on our Facebook feed. We focused on, you know, ensuring that every child has a public education. We focused on the environment and healthcare and affordable wages. And I'm not sure what happened, but Mel, what do you think happened? Because in your seat, a man who's never stepped foot in Brevard County won. And that is amazing that a girl like you, a lady, a woman, that went out and did so much for the Indian River Lagoon. I mean, so go ahead. You can answer that before we take. He'll put on hold.
Oh, yeah. In 10 seconds or less?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. More than
10
seconds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, what happened would be difficult to really summarize, but I imagine that the bottom line is the sufficient number of people were not willing to look across party lines. And I think that was the bottom line. There were a lot of people who were, a lot of Republicans that expressed support both privately and publicly, which was very nice to see, because mm-hmm. that meant that there were a good number of people out there that actually did care about these issues more than party loyalty, you know, and cared about the future more than the partisan agenda. So it was refreshing to see, but it just wasn't enough.
Right. And what about you, Victoria? What do you think happened? Because you went out. We did everything right. We knocked on doors. We collected money. We spoke to people. We talked about the issues. And people said to our faces, we're going to vote for you. And I know I felt pretty good. I got over 36,000 votes in Brevard. And I felt good about my race. And my opponent was not negative, and he didn't do anything nasty. But Vicky, your race,
yours wasn't the same.
And yours wasn't the same.
Yeah, mine started getting a little nasty towards the end. I seen the negative mailer when they put Victoria Michener's secret and sent a little innuendo out as it was like it was from Victoria's Secret itself, from the company. And they took some pictures off my Facebook, some selfies that I took, and, you know, they tried to exploit that. And so I was just like, thank God this race is over. Because the hardest part is when you're getting attacked and you're trying to maintain that self-control and not react to the negativity. And so when you get attacked, and especially by men, because we found out who did the attack and we were able to trace down where all the money came from, and it was just a sad day. So you literally had to attack me in this way to try to make me look bad.
Yeah, and the sad thing is they were attacking, like in my race, not me personally, but I know other state house candidates got attacked. The job only pays $29,000. And you have these multi-millionaires spending so much money for a job, $29,000. I'm like, dude, take it. At this point, take it. But anyway, so on the phone, calling in on Viewpoint with Sita and friends, we've got Deborah Belanti, and she also ran for Florida House District 60. Deborah, welcome to our show.
Thank you for having me. Thanks. Hi, guys.
Yeah, we left you on an open mic so you could listen to, we have Mel Martin, who ran here for the Senate seat in District 14. Victoria Michener ran for County Commissioner in District 2. Mm. My good friend Ellen Little, and my co-host has been with me forever, is here. And my
I didn't
friend,
run for anything,
and
though, Deborah.
My friend Lynette Boner is here as well. So everybody say hello, Deborah.
Hello, Deborah.
So thank you for calling in on our show. So if you want to join in the conversation, we were just saying that, you know, we ran campaigns that were issue-oriented and human-oriented, and we spoke about things like civil rights and vote and restoration and getting the voter turnout and gun violence reduction and criminal justice reform and accountability among elected officials. That's what we ran on, transparency and accountability. Mm-hmm. And so we did not win, and I know you did not win your seat as well. We don't like to say loser. You came in second.
I did come in second. And like you, Sita, I got 38,000 votes in a district that leans Republican. So I'm pretty proud of my race, too. I heard you say that. You know, you and I actually got probably more votes than some people who actually won their race. In fact, I know two people near me who didn't get as many votes, but they won their race. And I heard you guys talk about, you know, issues. And I think the one thing in my district, the reason why I got a lot of Republican votes is because I wasn't talking about parties. I was talking about the issues that matter to most people. You know, and I think I just couldn't overcome that. I was like 3,000 votes short of getting that 50.1%. I'm pretty proud that we made the dent we did. The last time a gentleman ran for this seat, a Democrat, he lost by 14 percentage points. So we were like within 3 or 4. So I think, you know, it's progress as I see it, right?
Right. And you run pretty much on the same platform like Mel and and myself, you know, to respect funding for public education, to keep children safe, protect women's rights, which is a big thing with Lynette as well, who's here, responsible growth, and to protect home rule as well. What do you think happened with the messaging with so many people that couldn't get their message across? Was it really the negative ads on TV? Because I thought, we all thought if Andrew Gillum brought it home, which I'm hoping, you know, we still hope.
We still can hope.
But we all thought if the top of the ticket did well, we all win as well. But then the negative ads started, and I think that did put a dent in what happened to him as well.
It did. And I think fear, quite frankly. I think that our president and leaders in the Republican Party knew how to keep people home. And so when the ads come in, you know, and remember, in the primary, Gillum was not looked at because they thought he wasn't even viable. So none of these things hit him during the primary at all. So when he won the primary, which shocked them all, you know, that was their chance to drive the fear. And I think that's what kept a lot of people home. I know a lot of Republicans who voted straight Democrat, and they used the word reset. Like, we need to reset. Let's just vote straight Democrat. But it still wasn't enough. And so look how close we are. I mean, the problem we have in Florida is we have 50% Democrat, 50% Republican. And I'm hoping that this growing NPA group can maybe make a dent in some of this stuff that's happening. I don't know.
So we're going to ask a general question to you and Mel and Victoria. So where do we go going forward? And I'm going to ask Mel that.
Well, I think that we need to work on determining our brand as Democrats. And a lot of that is how we respond to the election results. It's how we respond to, well, anything really. And how we go forward as a group, and especially those in the limelight, will be shaping our new brand. And ideally it's new, because we have a lot to walk away from. And I think that in previous years, there has been an unfortunate grasp or desperate grasp for trying to win power through money, through established mechanisms. And that has only honestly worsened our message. It has made people...
You mean the political action committees? A lot of them, I think, made it worse.
Right. I think that just trying to...
influence.
Trying to get back into power by way of money disillusioned a lot of our base. And ignored a lot of people who can't afford a voice, who we were supposed to represent no matter what. And since they weren't able to donate, they were kind of neglected for a long time. And I believe that that has to necessarily end, and not just end, but be spat out as a party. That is not us. That is not what we're about. And so hopefully sufficient numbers of new Democrats will be out there saying who we really are, what we're really about. We're about the grassroots. We're about real working families, people who are struggling, people who just don't have the access or can't afford the access to our system of government. And that is a travesty. And we are here as a Democratic Party to stand up and say no more.
So really put people over politics, over money.
That has been a nice talking
slogan,
point, but we really need to show it.
What about
we really
you?
Have to show it.
And what about you, Victoria? And your race was a nonpartisan race.
It was a partisan race.
It was partisan. You did run as a Democrat. That's right, you did, yes.
Yeah, and I went through the primary, and I agree with everything.
Yeah, you did. We sure did. We remember Elvis.
Yeah, so... survive that.
Yeah.
But I agree with everything Mel said. You know, we have to take the money out of politics. And I honestly feel that a lot of these people bought their seats. I mean, in my in the general election, my opponent had spent almost $130,000
of his own money.
Of his own money. Yeah, the credit card.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that counts, but a little shade.
Yeah.
But you know, I didn't even spend that amount of money. I spent about $25,000 total, and like I said, I went through the primary. Within the primary, I think I might have spent about $2,200, and I won 77% of the vote. And that was all small contributions from hardworking people. Some people donated $3, $10, and these were everyday hardworking citizens. And so, I mean.
So and Deborah, what about you? Because in your, I know I collected maybe about, I think, Ellen, maybe 20,000 too. But I had the name recognition from the show and being involved in the community. And I do feel good about,
you were just shy of 20,
you know, people helping, you know, 36,000 votes is nothing to cry about, right? But at the same time, I do feel as though a lot of the candidates that ran in our town on the Republican ticket, they ran on name recognition and they had a lot of money from outside mm-hmm. sources. And yep. they were not shy about taking money from mm-hmm. political action committees as well. Mm-hmm. Did you see that in your area?
Yeah, well, in my race, in fact, my opponent actually ran for city council. This is her first time, I think, in her first term. And prior to that, she ran for city council and did not win. So she failed up, we like to say. She failed up. She didn't win city council. And then so she ran for the open House seat and won. So she had name recognition because of the previous race. Her record really was lousy. So that's how I was able to make the dent that I was. And she had lots of money. She looked at her financial reports. There were, you know, Disney, AT&T, all the big guys. Big Sugar, right? Geo, all of those. I raised $70,000, all individual donors, plus some unions. You know, unions always back us Democrats. But I'm proud of the money. And I wanted to win because she had raised $300,000 and I had raised $70,000. And she had 50,000 mailers at home. I had two, right? I wanted to win because I wanted to prove to everybody that it's not about money, you know? And we have so many good people who were told, they wanted to run, women, and they were told in my area, you know, around the Tampa Bay area, it'll be $1 million to run for this race. Mm-hmm. Or it'll be $500,000 to run for this race.
Yeah, me too.
So good people like telling them, like 50,000.
That's what we were told too here in our area. I mean, they put the fear of God into us and said, well, you can't run unless you could collect 50,000 or 100,000. But the bottom line is, I believe anyone who wants to make a difference and talk about the issues should run. And, you know, we got endorsed by the women and the men in our county that and in the state of Florida, people from all over that believed that we can make a difference and stand up mm-hmm. for safety, for gun reforms mm-hmm. without mm-hmm. interfering with the Second Amendment. We got people that stood up for us and say, yes, we do believe in planning families. You can't talk about mothers and fathers or people that have children. Right. And then you say, well, we're going to cut food stamps and we're going to cut affordable housing. You just can't do that. Yeah. You have to put your money.
Absolutely.
You have to ask yourself, are you pro-birth or pro-life? And we saw a lot of that. But, you know, Mel and Victoria are both veterans. And we found that some people do use veterans sparingly when they want to, because people would come up and say they're happy they were running and they were veterans. But I don't know how much of a dent that made in their races. What do you think, Mel?
Mm-hmm.
I think that... one more time, because I was looking down.
Like people say, you know, people talk about veterans.
Yeah.
And they love them. And they want to do so many things for them. And they want to look out for the veterans. But here you have a veteran, you and Victoria, both. You were in the Navy. She was in the Army. You're both running. And you have such a wonderful background of discipline and mm-hmm. hard work and sacrifice
and
service to our country.
Right.
And you set it attention. And yet still, they didn't vote for you.
Right. And then that's it goes back to my earlier comment that as long as you're within the confines of what is okay, which means if you are an R, then you're good to go. And, you know, and obviously veteran status means nothing outside of that box. Mm-hmm. So it was eye-opening. It was not only eye-opening regarding the loyalty, the party loyalty versus, you know, what veterans stand for, but it was the civility issues that came out, that no matter who, you know, it didn't matter at all that we were veterans, but there was some ugliness thrown at us.
But yet
for no
still,
grounds.
Every politician around election time, oh, we love our veterans and we want to give them benefits and we want to take care of their families and we want to wrap the flag properly when someone dies and this and that. but yet still a veteran in front of your eye is running, and you didn't give her your
vote.
That's
because we were Democrats.
And what about you, Victoria? You could say that on air.
Yeah, I mean, that's because we had Democrat behind our names. And Mel is right. We were attacked viciously online. They said some nasty things under our threads. I know, for instance, we released one of my military photos, and it was like, oh, her hair is not in regulation. You can't be campaigning in military uniform. And I'm like, I'm not even in the military anymore. This is an old picture, you know. But if I pull up one of the Republican males that are running and they are in uniform, I've seen a couple commercials. One guy had on his uniform. Yep. And it was like, oh, he's an American hero and all this and that. But then me and Mel, we're getting bashed over here because we're Democrats, you know, and they're telling us we can't vote for you because you're a Democrat. I've seen that on your post.
Right, well, unfortunately, that has a little bit to do with branding, a little bit from what you said. But, you know, the other part of it is it just goes back to that civility of making things fair and right and just. And unfortunately, we still have a long way to go with treating people better.
Right. And I believe that there's a lot of parallel issues with the definitions, the difference of definitions between patriotism and nationalism. You know, what service really means, you know, what it's really about. Some, you know, honestly, some veterans came into service not necessarily intending to serve, but really to show off.
Right. That's true.
Well, Deborah, I know you're still on the phone with us. We all saw what happened to John McCain.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
yeah.
Right. I mean, we all saw how they sullied his good name. And when he left our planet, it was bittersweet for people who really, really looked up to him. And he was, when you think about a veteran who sacrificed for this nation, it was John McCain, right?
And that's what I said.
And somehow the Republicans, not all, but some of them were able to even make him look as though he was not worthy. And why is that so?
I said that too as well, Sita, when I was having a conversation with some of my friends, and he was like, why are they attacking you? You're a veteran. I was like, look what they did to John McCain.
Right.
I was like, these are people from his own party kicking this man. He's not even in the ground yet, and they're already bashing him. And he was a prisoner of war. You know, this man has served our country.
The ultimate sacrifice.
And he stayed behind with his people.
Well, I think Deborah wants to jump in here. What were you going to say, Deb?
I'm not a veteran. I haven't served. I have family members who have. And we should respect that, no matter if there's a DRR after your name. But I will tell you, I think it's because we used to not have a lot of veterans on the Democratic ticket as candidates. And the fact this year we had an abundance of them, which I was just so honored and proud to see. I think that we're taking that stuff back from them. And it's, you know, it's again, they think they own patriotism, right? They think they own military. They think they own all these things. And I was just happy to see that we made a big dent in that. We have a long way to go, as you can see, as Mel was telling you. We have a long way to go still. So,
it always bothers me. Like, I see people in our town will ride around with a big old flag on a truck. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm beginning to think maybe Democrats ought to do that too, because they don't own the flag. When I travel overseas, you know, like if I go to Turkey or a different country and I come back and I hit the American soil, I want to kiss the ground. This is America, the greatest country in the world, right? And so who died and left certain people in charge of the flag? All of us should love it. So I think maybe Democrats need to start showing we are patriotic. We do love it.
And I think there are plenty that do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're not necessarily obnoxious about it.
But we need to.
I don't know about that. Right. Well, I mean, we shouldn't stoop or try to meet them at their level. Mm-hmm. That is just, you know, down here. There, we should lovingly educate them what patriotism really means.
Mel, I don't know. You know, I used to believe when they go low, we go high. But when I look at what's happening, you know, with the reporters when they're asking questions in the White House, when I look at what's written online, when I look at the ads that people paid millions of dollars to run against Anna Ishkamani and all our friends, you know, I'm beginning to say when somebody goes low, you don't have to go lower, but meet them at their level.
Well, there
and
are
say,
three things.
You know, you listen, guys. I'm sorry to say, but I'm going to set you straight.
That's actually, you know, very true. That you need to be clear about what the truth is, but you have to consider three points of perspective. One, whoever is sending these hate messages, and I have plenty too on my side of my race. So you have that one perspective. You have the recipient. So you have the candidate or whomever. Receiving this communication and then responding to it. However, the third perspective you need to ensure and maintain close consideration of is the viewing audience. The viewing audience has their own values, has their own reasonableness, has their own understanding of what's going on, and it's them that is going to be carrying the flag to the next stage, you know? And going back to branding and rebranding, you know, if we are someone who stays strong on our values and refuses to stoop, then the viewing audience, they're going to see that and be more likely to, you know, consider.
I don't know. I'm going to be more like President Trump if I run again.
Yeah, but rebranding sometimes gives you that power, though,
too. Deborah, I don't know if you agree with me or not, but I do think at some point, you know, President Trump were able to reach a man who was milking a cow in Iowa and a guy on Wall Street. And I think it's because of the way he spoke, not necessarily mean, but he reached people at their level sometimes. And I think Democrats, you know, when President Obama speaks sometime, you know, he's speaking with such intellectual property from his brain. I don't know if people are understanding, but I was saying, you know, sometimes you just have to say, they're coming to take your land.
Right.
They're coming to take your milk. They're coming to take your, close the borders. I mean, they use code words, and it seems to resonate with their base.
But I don't know if I would be into fear mongering.
I would give my...
Go ahead.
Sorry. Even in my district, I would give my some speeches to rooms of educated people. And some would have friends or colleagues. So I would ask them afterwards, I'm like, you know, so tell me, you know, you have any questions about the speech? You know, what you think? And I said, well, you lost me when you started talking about bill numbers. You lost me when you started talking about these things. And it was interesting to me to hear that from educated people. Like, if I would say House Bill, whatever, 7055 or 7059, they immediately stopped. It confused them.
But yes.
If I said, you know, they are sweeping funds from affordable housing and blah, blah, blah. And if I are, they're taking funds from your daughter's school over here at, you know, Mitchell Elementary, and their ACs won't be repaired. That made more sense to them. So I agree to the simplicity of things and reaching out to them to get them to where they meet them where they are.
Well, you have to know your audience, right? Like everything else. But
exactly.
But the day after elections, I ran into someone who's making $10 an hour, and he says, "Oh, I'm so upset. I can't pay my bills this month," and blah blah blah. And I said, "Well, did you vote for Andrew Gillum?" And he said, "No, I voted for DeSantis." And I said, "Well, guess what? You're gonna have to write a letter to the governor." Because guess what? Andrew Gillum was going to try to raise the minimum, raise your wage. He was going to try to get health care for us. He was going to try to make sure he had affordable housing, that we clean up the lagoon and we hold people responsible. And he goes, no, he was trying to raise my taxes. I'm like, where did you get that? He said, oh, I saw it on TV. So they, on their ads, they said, Andrew Gillum is going to raise your taxes, period. That's it. They use simple words. They just code words. And this guy making $10 an hour believed it. He did not hear the part where he was going to raise the taxes on the top corporations so they can pay for public education so that businesses could have an educated people working for them, you know? So I'm beginning to see that simplicity does work.
Simplicity, yes. And that's basic effective communication 101.
Yeah.
You know, definitely and speak to people's values, our identities, and things like that. But it's the next step, how we
brand it, like Ellen says, how we brand it, right?
Like Victoria was saying, we can't use fear. We can't use hate.
I think I'm going to start saying we need to have a potluck for elections, like every week, and bring people together to eat food. Because I think when you sit down and you break bread together, maybe you could talk about issues and not have so much animosity and diversity.
They do that over here in Tampa. There's a group in the African American community. They have something called Tea and Conversation. And she's the woman who started this as a community leader. She's been doing it for years. It started out as a small little thing, and it grew. And it was really good for local municipality races. And she would invite local candidates, people to come, and she would have her community come, and they would break bread, and they would have tea or lunch. And it was weekly. And then as we got closer to elections, she would actually invite more and more candidates to come. And I thought it was fabulous. Now, of course, it was not my district whatsoever. So it was unfortunate that it wasn't down in my district, but I thought it was fantastic. Because they got local people who don't have access to any of these candidates because they can't pay money to go to the galas or the fundraisers. It gave them a chance to ask questions, and it gave the candidates a chance to talk to people, you know, in these communities. I thought it was wonderful. I love that idea.
Well, Deb, we have 20 seconds before we go off air, and then we're going to a second segment. So did you want to give us your website? I know you are doing some charitable pro bono work and other things in your area. So feel free if you want people to reach out to you or go on your website and check things you're doing.
Wonderful. Belonte Creative is my company, my day job. I'm a marketing consultant. And we do lots of pro bono work for Meals on Wheels, for, you know, Boys and Girls Club, Salvation Army, all kinds of groups. But I don't know about you guys, but I will be putting my hat in again soon. I don't know for what race. So Belonte will still be around for a while as well. So thank you so much, Stephen.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Bye. So we're going to take a quick commercial break and listen to our sponsors that have helped us so much with the Viewpoint with Sita and Friends show, and then we'll be right back right after these messages.
Portions of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Portions of Sita and Friends is brought to you by Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture Store inside the Merritt Square Mall at the Sears Wing. Save big on furniture working with a flexible family-owned store with all the brands you love, from Ashley, Serta, Coaster, Enso, and more. Brand new, warranties as well, and delivery and haulaway available at a fraction of the cost of most stores and delivered in 7 to 10 days. Free, no credit checking and financing, and free interior design. The owner, Scott Palmer, has been in the mattress and furniture business for over 30 years, and Cloud9 has been serving Central Florida for 7 years now. Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture Store, available at 321-459-2473. Again, call them 321-459-2473 or visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 8 locations serving Brevard County. So if you have an emergency, need a physical, or when your doctor is unavailable, with 8 locations, MedFast offers top quality care that is close by and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. MEDFAST Urgent Care opens 7 days a week with the convenience of 8 locations serving Brevard County. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MEDFAST. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral, and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000, 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With 3 locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. Boy, what a robust conversation we were having about experiences on the campaign trail and what we've learned. And before we go to Lynette Fodor, who Lynette is a public health educator, and she's going to we're going to be talking a little bit about behavioral issues with children and adults and her business. And
let's
a little
stick
bit
to the adult
does.
Part, since that's what we left off on the yeah. first segment.
Before we go to Lynette, I just want to ask Mel and Victoria. Mel, would you run again?
Maybe.
Yes, you will.
Maybe.
And so you're going to keep the door open.
The door is open, yeah.
Yes.
It's pretty much the bottom line is I will serve in whatever capacity needs me, or, you know, that I can help out the overall effort. So if that door equals, you know, public office, then I will definitely consider it.
And what about you, Victoria? Would you run again?
I am going to run again. Yes. I just don't know what I will run for. I just have to find something that would be a best fit for me. And whatever role that someone thinks that I would be good in. People thought I would be good in the county commissioner role since I worked for Brevard County and I knew a lot of the ins and outs. So we'll see. 2020 is around the corner.
I think both of you would be good, and I would be more than happy to help. I don't think I would run again, although people have already called and asked me to run again. But if I do run again, I am going to take some of the code words from the Republican playbook. Things like immigrants, Muslim, borders, babies. I mean, these are all words that, when thrown in properly in the right conversations, can turn into votes.
I will send you to the neuro-linguistic programming class.
Yes.
I promise you.
Because, you know, this
it
is
happens.
What happened to Lynette and I. We were on the street corner waving signs, and a woman came up and started attacking me for being pro-choice. And so I said to her, I said, look, it's not about being pro-choice or pro-life. It's about when you have a baby, a child is born, and people who are pro-life, they say they want to take care of this baby when it's in a woman in the uterus, in the womb. When the child is born, you cannot pull funding for affordable housing and education and a place for the child to have a safe environment. So our position as women is to educate men and women and young people at appropriate ages about sex education to prevent an unwanted, unloved pregnancy. But in addition to that, we ought to promote vocational training, technical training, and an academic education.
Most contraceptives are like 97% accurate.
That's right.
Like 97%.
Our position was not about that we love abortions. Our position was about education. And I was attacked on the street corner. Then someone attacked me and said, well, Democrats just want to give away free stuff. Well, here's the thing. I don't know any Democrat that don't work. Everyone I know works for a living. But if you make a certain amount of money and you need assistance with education for your children and you need assistance with insurance, that's what Medicaid is there for. So I'm not sure where people get this idea that Democrats are all lazy. And people are amazed when you tell them that you work for a living and they just look at you like, what? So Democrats aren't supposed to be wealthy. We're not supposed to have a brain. We're not supposed to be able to talk about issues. We are. So I think the branding, yes, but I think we need to do a better job of saying, when we say jobs with benefits, we mean a good job with benefits, a job that pays adequately so that you could feed your family and you don't have to choose between paying rent and buying a prescription, or you don't have to go with a car tires that are not good on the road because you don't have extra change. So we looked at issues, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I think the Republicans are good at, you know, when they go to church, the preachers say the right thing. They know how to reach their audience. And we know how to do that too. Everybody loves the United States and everybody wants good for people, for their neighbors, for their friends, people they work with. But it's just how we get there. So I think it's time we stop the hate, we stop the divisiveness that we see, and the ignorance. And like Mel said, you know, we have to move on and speak in a tone that is, you know, that all of us could understand
and understand exactly what you said about perspectives. Mm-hmm. Right. That there's always going to be three perspectives. There's going to be mine, yours, and whoever the viewing audience is. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be that. Saying it in such a way that you can appreciate the fact that someone else has a perspective and appreciate the way that they view certain things, so that way you can come closer to a resolution of whatever the resolution needs to be.
Right. I received lots of support on Facebook, just people private messaging me saying that they read my string of comments and how I handled certain.
You did really good, man. She was talking to everybody.
Personalities out there.
I think I got over 500 comments on mine, too. People thought I was really positive about.
Great.
Because you know what? I ran because I'm a people person.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have given it 100% if I went to Tallahassee. But at the same time, I love people. And I think if you want to win, you have to study the other side and what their winning mantra is and try to and take some of that and put it into your campaign next time around.
Well, there's the whole Sun Tzu type of leadership understanding. It is a very, very critical to know your enemy and know how they work and know, you know, understand how they tick, etc. But it doesn't mean necessarily that you have to follow suit. And we do not want to follow that suit because it's stinky and it's nasty. And we don't want to go down that road.
That's like,
but it is definitely important to study.
Yeah.
Definitely study.
Sun Tzu, great reference.
Right. Right. Well, you know, Victoria got endorsed by the Space Ghost. Was it? The Business Voice.
Oh, Business Voice.
Right. Yeah. And that was nice that they endorsed you, but I think you were the only candidate
on the Democratic
ticket that they saw something in you over your opponent.
Yeah, I just went into that board meeting. It was 35 large companies. A lot of the big aerospace companies make up Business Voice. And I went in there and I was me. And I talked about, you know, the realities, you know, of them coming here to Brevard County. They're not hiring our local Brevardians, you know. And when they come, they are making our cost of living increase. You know, to increase. So they understood that. They also understood that we need to hire some of our local people. And I found out that they had a lot of manufacturing opportunities at these companies. And Brevard County is actually number one in the state of Florida in manufacturing jobs. And we have over 500 manufacturers here. And so I'm like, well, why, you know, we got people at $10 an hour. And so, you know, I was willing to work with these companies to get, you know, our Brevardians better paying jobs. And so I think that was one of the things that stood out. And I was able to express to them some of the things that I've seen when I went door knocking just right across the street here in Cocoa and some of the lower income parts. You know, that was a lot of people's concern, was having a decent paying job so they can afford to pay all the bills and not have to figure out how they're going to feed their family. So
right, and that's where when we saw Andrew Gillum, that's what he was saying: jobs with benefits.
Yeah,
and that resonated with me because the way he was saying it came from the heart. That's what he wanted for people. But anyway, so I think Ellen wanted us to stick a little bit with the adult behaviors, right? And what's happening.
I just thought it was appropriate.
I think
all.
It would be kind of nice
to have
Lynette on today. And Lynette is develops comprehensive initiatives and programs for tobacco prevention, cessation of and health education, community health, and she has a background in training for oral health and dental management. She also is a mental health counselor, public health educator. She builds partnerships, program development, grant writing, which we might need if we decide to do a foundation, budgeting, event planning, case management, it's disease prevention, lots of stuff. So Lynette, tell us a little bit about what you think about all this that happened with our elections and the mental health component of it.
Well, thank you, Sita, for inviting me to join you today. Going back with what Mel said, I think we were so positive about how we ran everything. We got right to the heart of the issues. But there was so much negativity from the other side. Mm-hmm. And even with the certain buzzwords that they used, made it seem that their ads were positive when in fact they were negative.
Right. They just knew what to say. They knew how to package it.
That's exactly correct.
Yeah, because, you know, my grandchild came home one day and I was telling you, she says, are you voting for Andrew Gillum, Nanny? And I said, yes, I'm fighting for him. And she goes, but he's a failed candidate. And I said, where did you get that from? She says, the TV. I said, oh, my God, this is what happened. Just those two words stayed with my grandchild. And then I had to explain to her that he's not a failed candidate, that this is what television ads can buy. And when I explained it to her, she said, well, why do they spend so much money to say that he is? I mean, you know, this is what happened.
Out of the mouths of babes.
That's right. Yep. And so imagine that, how many people saw those ads and actually believed it, right?
We also had robocalls, you know, scaring people that they were going to lose their scholarships, mm-hmm. you know, to private schools. And Just the negativity, the taxes being increased when it was only going to be the upper percent of the corporations. But people were scared that their taxes were going to go up.
Yeah. So much
and for
fear.
Working families that are working two jobs to try and meet and, you know, make ends meet, mm-hmm. the same exact people that the Democrats, right, that we were talking about earlier, are trying to reach and trying to protect and trying to be the voice of, they're seeing these clips on TV, and that's all they see because they've got 20 minutes between soccer practice and making dinner to be able to get their news.
Yeah.
Because there nobody's reading the, you know, I'm sorry, Florida Today, but the readership is not great anymore. So people aren't reading. They're seeing whatever's on in between
the
some
ads.
Sitcom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I saw the ones against Anna Ishkawani to try to go after her for being Iranian. And then she came up with better ads, and she enveloped it, and she said, "Yes, I am." You know, but so Lynette, so tell our listening audience here, you're a public health educator, and you do a lot of counseling. Tell our listening audience on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends a little bit between the difference between mental disorders and child behavioral disorders.
All right. Well, with mental disorders, there are conditions that affect your way of thinking. Feeling in your mood. And they could be chronic, they could be short-term, or they could be long-term. It could be something like a panic disorder, obsessive-compulsive, PTSD, which is post-traumatic stress disorder. With child behavioral disorders, children will experience stress at different times, whether it's the birth of a sibling, a divorce, or a death in the family. But if
Or running for office, girls.
Yes.
Right. So we gave our children a little stress there, too.
Watching their nanny and their mothers and their aunties running for office. But if a pattern develops longer than 6 months and it becomes disruptive, then you really need to start to zero in. Are they harming themselves? Are they threatening to harm others? Pets, that's always a big sign. Damaging or destroying property. Breaking TVs is quite common, throwing TVs.
Really?
Yes. I work with many that, for some reason, I guess the new design, they just are able to pick them up and toss them.
Mm. Lightweight.
Lightweight, yes.
Yeah. In the old days, when you picked up, you could not pick up a TV because you had all those big old bulbs in the back. And, you know, it was...
Back
it was,
then, maybe they just put their foot through it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what they did. Who knows?
You know what? Now
it's amazing. I think it's stress. I mean, society in general, people, no matter what age you are, stress is causing so many issues with your health.
Oh, absolutely. Not just only your mental health, but your physical health, your nutritional health.
And so many people, I mean, in families, we see the elections, of course, cause so many disruptions with families. I heard there were people that were going to have two Thanksgiving and two Christmases because their families couldn't get along and mom and dad can't deal with the anxieties and the issues at the dinner table.
Right. Before, when we say we'd have divided families in Florida, it was usually because of Florida State and University of Florida.
Right.
You know? But now we're seeing it between the Republicans and the Democrats in the same family. And that's going to continue to add additional stress, especially if there's children in the house.
Right. So if somebody wanted to reach you, how would they get a hold of you if they wanted to have some counseling for children?
Well, right now I am a subcontractor for an agency here in Brevard County called Angels for Kids on Call, and they would need to go ahead and get in touch with them directly, and they take all sorts of insurance, including Medicaid.
Yeah. Thank you. And but Lynette, you do a lot more than that. You're also an adjunct professor over at Florida Eastern. Did I say it correct?
Eastern Florida.
Why do you, we have to put that up?
Hey, you didn't say
it's
the other
same.
One.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah, yeah. Also, and so, and you see a lot there as well. You see a lot of people that that had jobs and now they're into a second career. And tell us a little bit about what's happening with people right now who are trying to cope with loss of jobs. Technology has taken over so many jobs, and people are really struggling out there. It's very challenging right now.
And what we're seeing is older adults, late 30s, early 40s, going back and actually getting into health, nursing, physical therapy assisting, occupational therapy assisting, nurse practitioner, physician assistant. So we're really seeing a lot of people going from even jobs with technology when we had the Space Center, the jobs closing down there, going back in, and everyone going towards healthcare.
Right, and you're also involved with Planned Parenthood. Tell us a little bit how you got involved with, what are just the three R's we came up with protecting women's reproductive health?
Well, our three R's that we came up with are responsibility, reproductive rights. And if you follow the three R's, it really comes back to bringing in health and sex education, providing birth control for people out there so we don't have these unwanted pregnancies. And really, we just need to go back to being very proactive with making sure that there's accessible health care and health care out there that reaches the part of the population here in Brevard, and not just Brevard, you know, that needs it.
Right. I know, Mel, this was one of the things that was on your campaign, that you ran on as well, was health care, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we all wanted to expand Medicaid. We wanted to see that Medicaid is expanded in the state of Florida. Mm-hmm. Because I think there were, what, maybe more than a million people that were affected.
2.6 million?
Yeah.
Uninsured?
Is that so, what you mean? So, uninsured. So what? Why do you think us Democrats lost that messaging? Because the Republicans didn't even talk about that. You lost to a person that didn't even set foot in Brevard. Mm-hmm. Why do you think healthcare was not such an issue?
Well, it was definitely an issue.
Not with the people that didn't vote for
right.
us.
Right. It wasn't within the square of their care. It was not within their ability to look beyond the letter or the color or whatever you want to call it of their self-identity. And it's just, you know, and the fear and those code words kept them in that box. Even when you vote against your direct interests, your family's survival, you will still vote against all things good if it means that you are voting within your box. So right. It's really, you know, a lot of people are on limbic mode, that limbic, you know,
they just stayed in their lane. They just stayed in their lane and they kept driving.
Mm-hmm.
And Lynette, you see
but
a lot of...
But it was definitely an issue
yes.
for everyone.
It was an issue for me because I meet people all the time that says, I can't afford health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
If you make, you know, anything from 10 to 12 bucks an hour mm-hmm. and you have to pay health insurance out of your paycheck, you could probably just insure yourself, but not your spouse and children. Mm-hmm. And if you happen to lose your job, health insurance is about $800 a month for one person. And Lynette, I know you and I were talking about this on the way up here. What is your take on that?
Well, absolutely. That's one of the issues with Governor Rick Scott when he rejected the Medicaid expansion here in Florida. And so many families and children do not have the access to the insurance or have no coverage. So we do go back onto the Medicaid. But employers should be able to offer benefits to us, even if we have to add some part to it so we have the coverage, because what we're seeing now is the hospitals are being treated as
emergency rooms.
Well, yeah. Emergency rooms, but they're being used as a regular doctor's office because mm-hmm. people can't afford either A, their copayment, or they don't have insurance, so where else are they going to go? One of the urgent cares, or they're going directly into the ED.
Right, and I see Victoria shaking her head about that. That was something that you also talked about, Vicki, on your on the campaign trail.
Yeah, I talked about that as well. But, I mean, like Mel said, it's just all identity politics. If it's, you know, if we were Republicans seeing that, we probably wouldn't be yeah. sitting here talking about that. We'll be getting ready to swear in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, even the Indian River Lagoon, I thought for sure that was one of the things that Mel Martin knew everything about, more than all of us.
Oh, yes.
And I thought if anything is going to carry Mel, it would be what she did for the Indian River Lagoon. And I was stunned when you didn't win and you won, and somebody that we didn't even know. Haven't even heard the guy's voice that he won, and the opponent, Dorothy Huckel, died, and this guy happened to win. To me, I mean, for the voters to reject someone who was in front of them and worked so hard for the Indian River Lagoon, and you held town halls and you went all on. And, you know, the Democratic Party kept telling us, knock on doors. Everybody had these super voters sheets, and everyone was all concerned about the technology and getting the list and all that. We did everything right.
Mm-hmm.
So I still feel as though people stayed in their lanes. They couldn't care less what happened. They just voted according to their party.
Mm-hmm.
They stayed party line.
Yeah.
And that was the thing that a lot of us were fighting against. We said when people go to Tallahassee, their vote party line as well. And we were fighting against that, but it didn't seem to matter to so many that didn't bother to vote according for their own issues.
Right.
You know? And I know Lynette and I talked about this on the campaign trail as well. We were talking about mental health and how it affects people and how people in our county, so many people in Brevard County, there isn't even a place for people to go who are addicted to opioids or people who need a place to stay after they get come out of circles of care. We talked about all of this.
Absolutely.
We talked about every topic on the campaign trail.
Yeah, I bet. It was a long drive.
Yes.
We did many long drives, and they're always very interesting when we're talking about, you know, the issues at hand, because I hear from my students, you know, I hear from my patients' families, and they, and again, we really need these services, but they all stayed in their own lane. They stayed in their comfort zone. When if they would have crossed that line, you know, to come on the D side, they'd be able to be getting services. If keep our fingers crossed that Gillum still gets in.
Right.
And, you know, we also, we were hoping that the NPAs would come over as well. And I don't think as many came over as we thought. And I have, you know, I have to say, there were so many people that kept telling me that they're going to vote Democratic for issues. I had a lot of people thought that Pam Dershka knocked on doors and that woman walked and did everything right. And I, for the life of me, I'm not sure anymore, what does the voter want? Do you want us just to continue to elect incumbents based on name recognition? Or do you want us to actually put people in place that will go there and fight for you and your family? I mean, there's absolutely nothing wrong with Democrats fighting for people to have education, whether it's sex education at an appropriate age or academic, trade, and vocational. I'm not sure what else we could have done to get that message, because every single candidate I know ran on education, you know. So before we leave, I want, Vicky, if you, I know you still have your business, right? If people want to use your services to consult with, do you have a website yet?
The website is still under construction, but I will give out my my email address. You can email me at Vicky Mitch, that's VickeyMitch at gmail.com, and just put in the subject line what you need, and then I can send you my personal cell phone number.
Or they could call me.
Or they can call you.
Yeah, they can call you the show.
And Lynette, do you want to give out the name of the company you work for?
It's Angels for Kids on Call.
That's so easy to remember.
And Mel, we're going to find you at the beach for the next couple of months, right?
No, we're working on something new.
But you're still doing stuff with the Lagoon, aren't you? Are you still on the board with...
No, I stepped down from being president, but just stay tuned. We're going to be doing some really good stuff very soon.
Isn't she nice? Mel is so sweet. When I see Mel, I'm like, God, why can't I be nice like her? She's
like
so kind and gentle.
That's what you can be for Halloween. We'll make you a Mel face. And
yeah,
you
I'm
a nice
kind
one.
And gentle myself, but at the same time, she's just so nice.
That's right. Well, another great segment here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Thank you all so much for attending, and certainly Deborah Ballantini for joining us on the phone. We'll see you next week.
This is the Christian Voice of Brevard on WWBC 1510 AM.
You're listening to WWBC, COCO, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, COCO, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne.